Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You know, I got to tell you, I was alluding to earlier today, that warm, windy rain that we had yesterday late afternoon. And I was out like on the back porch doing a little work and hanging out. And I thought to myself, you know what? It is a good day to be a gardener, right? Because people like to get out when it's not real hot. And when the weather starts to kind of dry up, they get out there and play in the dirt a little bit. And the weather has been cooperating. And now, you know, heading into the holiday weekend, everybody is thinking about getting out to one of our fine sponsors, getting all the stuff that they need, and definitely getting in it to the garden if they haven't done so already. So today, it's your day to plug in with two of the best, both from TribLive.com, he from EverybodyGardens.com. We're going to have Miles coming up in a little bit from Davey Trees. And, of course, everything that you need to know about gardening. That's what this program is about. So get on the phones at 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com, or you can text me on the Right Automotive line, the best deal in town. And also right now, as an added bonus, we've even got more. I'm going to give the 10th caller a $25 gift certificate from Sorgles. So get on the line for that as well, too. But now, here is Doug and Jess with this week's edition of The Organic Gardeners. Good morning, guys.
Well, no gardener's ever going to complain about warm, windy rain. I'm Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
Boy, you were shot out of a cannon this morning.
I just feel really energetic today.
You had
today.
About two paragraphs worth of stuff there in two minutes.
I was hoping somebody would slap me and stop me because I was figuring, how do I stop this? And by the way,
if you want someone to slap you, Bambino's standing right there.
No, no. His slaps don't even hurt. He does that every day. 412-922-1020 is the number to dial for those gift certificates. But wasn't it a kind of a very pleasant day yesterday afternoon, even with the rain a little bit?
I was in the garden all day. It was awesome. I enjoyed it, getting some stuff in the ground and looking at everything. It's an explosion. You know, how fast it happens, you know? I don't know. You know, you got that spring where it's kind of like, okay, here come the daffodils. Okay, they're going to get there. But then you just turn around and like, rhododendrons are blooming, azaleas are blooming, this is growing, that's growing. It's crazy. It's wonderful, though.
For me, the start of the season is when the honey locusts bloom. On the side of the road, you get the honey locust trees, and I always drive with my windows down when I'm on Route 28 because there's all those honey locusts, and they smell so good. And that, to me, is like spring is official now.
For me, it's
you know?
A return of the rose-breasted grosbeak.
Oh,
when
that
I see
too,
that, when
yep.
I see that rose-breasted grosbeak, there's no turning back. Or is it the daffodils, the harbingers of spring? I don't know.
Or is it the dirt under your nails all the time, like 24/7 this time of year? So
it's just nice to get in the ground, you know.
It is.
And just, you know, push those plants in there and find a spot for them. And I can't believe my vegetable garden's almost filled up.
Wow.
You know, it's all early stuff, overwintered stuff. I was looking yesterday. I was like, okay, well, I do have, okay, I know the tomatoes are going to go there.
Well, your paths are a little wide. You can always make the paths more narrow, right? No. So you can fit more
plants
in there.
No, those paths have been walked on too much, you know. But it's just, it's the corners and the edges of the beds that I always add
You need
stuff.
To, that would be a great Everybody Gardens video, Doug. Build raised beds. Build some nice, like waist-high raised beds in that garden.
It sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, well, you can have somebody put them in for you, but that would be cool.
Well, that sounds like a lot
of
money.
Oh, geez. Well, you could get somebody maybe to help with the videos and all that kind
of
stuff.
Listen, he needs that money for his kayak, his fishing pole.
Right, I know, his fishing habit.
Exactly.
He's a little fishing junkie there.
Obsession,
so, yeah.
We call it.
Guess what I realized yesterday, too, from hanging out with you two? A lot of these things that we love, like azaleas, rhododendrons, all of these things that bloom, they're not around real long. The wind kind of comes in and blows them up on the front porch.
That's why we have to appreciate them. That's my next story, actually, is I went out up to Butler and talked to an 80-some-year-old guy. It's his whole life has been making azaleas and making rhododendrons. And to, you know, walk his 20 acres with him, he's wow. I think it's 85, 86. He's hiking along, and he looks back at me and goes, "You okay with walking?" I must have looked like a
That is not a good sign, Doug.
No. Yeah, I'm okay for walking. I'll be all right.
I'm just checking out this rhododendron over here.
Yeah. Well, I yelled up to him, you know, he was like, you know, 100 yards away. Like, I'm coming.
Like the kids on vacation. Are we there yet? All right, listen, we're going to get ready to get to the phones in just a moment, but Doug has a couple of things he wants to talk about, and then we'll roll to a break, and we'll come right back and get to your phone call. So 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. Congratulations to Joe, our winner of that $25 gift certificate from Sorgles. Doug?
Well, today is the 16th annual Everybody Gardens Doug Oster Plant Swap and Giveaway, 10 a.m. at Sorgles. Just sold it out there on Thursday at Sorgles, huh?
It was a great event. Yep. All right. Thank you to everybody who came.
Today, 10 a.m., Sorgles, bring your perennials and other plants to trade, labeled and nothing invasive, please. I'm also giving away a couple tomato plants, Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top Tomatoes. I've been giving those away since 2000. It's a great old-fashioned big beefsteak tomato. And also the tomato called 3945. It was introduced to me by the late Dan Cummings. He helped name the variety that was found on the battlefields of World War II by Joe Roberts. Both tomatoes are just wonderful heirlooms. And all I ask when you get those tomatoes is once you grow them out, you save some seeds and give them back to me so I can keep those varieties going. And I've got a few surprises there from my own greenhouse there. I got some cannas and some other weird tomatoes, and we're gonna have a lot of fun today, 10 a.m. at Sorgles.
So tell me about Sorgles with you. How was it?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, I taught a container gardening class there on Thursday night. We had a lot of fun. It was a packed room and so many great plants there, and I have to plant my own containers. I spent yesterday mixing up potting soil and filling up my containers.
I have to plant my containers,
too. I have to get more potting soil, too. It's a little bit crazy. But I shot a video of how I do my homemade potting soil, so that'll be coming out soon, too.
Hey, before I forget, next Saturday at Andy Amron's EV True Value, Pete Moss from Ambridge is going to be out there. So I'm
Pit Moss.
Like I said, Pit Moss. Pete Moss. Yeah, Pit Moss. P-I-T-T Moss, right? See, I went all the way out there on the limb to give some love, and I screwed it up.
It's okay.
I give up.
It's early. It's pretty close.
All right, going to be a busy day here. Every single line is on hold and ready to go. Let's head out to Munhall and say hi to Michael up first on the KDKA radio program, The Organic Gardens, with Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're doing good. What's going on?
Hey, question for you. I called in yesterday, but they told me today would be a better day. I have three Cleveland pear trees that I put in the ground about 13 years ago. One of them I lost last year, totally lost it. This year, one of them is really thin, and the third one is doing great. So I'm trying to figure out what I should do for this Cleveland pear tree. It's very thin. It blossomed okay, but the leaves and everything, I mean, you can see basically right through it, opposed to the other real good one that, you know, it's nice and thick around the trunk. This one here doesn't seem to be doing well. You know, it blossomed every year. It bloomed every year really nice, but never really got as big as the other one. But it's really, really thin that you can all, I'm afraid I'm going to lose it. So what do you suggest that I should do to try to, you know, get it more vibrant?
Yeah, I am.
Well, first off, I mean, I wonder what show we called in yesterday. Was it like one of the weight loss shows or something?
Probably the hardware show, right? Was it Andy's show maybe? But anyway, so Cleveland pear is also known as Bradford pear. They're a very common tree. The unfortunate, and you are seeing the unfortunate side of these trees, is when they hit about 10, 15 years old, they have what are called weak crotches, which is the splits in the branches are very, very weak. These trees are prone to cracking, splitting, and major decline as they hit about 10, 15 years old. This is sort of a common sentiment in our industry, is that, gosh, why do people keep planting these Bradford
and when you talk to
Cleveland
those,
pears?
Talk to those guys from Davy Tree, they're just like, they, you know, yeah, or any, you know, hort person, they're just like, stay away.
Yeah, these, I mean, it's one of those things that just to the point where they're blooming and they're lovely, and then this decline happens. And so there really truly isn't much that you can do about it. It's being recommended actually in many different municipalities that these trees be removed because they're actually also invasive as well. They're seeding into wild spaces because the birds eat the fruit and then they go and spread them and, you know, displacing native plants and things like that. So in many cases, many municipalities are actually recommending that you cut them down and replace them with a better substitute, a tree that it may be like a serviceberry or a dogwood, or even a Carolina silverbell or something like that, that is going to have a longer life and not going to be as prone to the decline as the Bradford pears are.
All right, up next, it's Darlene in that community of Swickley, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Darlene.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing good. What's on your mind?
You missed your video opportunity. We've had the shrubs removed for the close planting, but I have a dead tree in the yard, and I want to keep it for the birds, and David wants to rip it out. It's really close for the hummingbirds to sit on.
Oh, Darlene, and you're going to make us pick sides, aren't you?
Yes, you have to, because I think I could put some lights on it, and it'll be just fine for the birds to sit on.
All right, can it fall on the house?
No, it's big. I've been here 6 years, and it was here before me, but it's not, I mean, it's not a, you can put your fingers around it. It's sticky like that in the yard.
Oh, it's a real thin tree, so it's not a hazard or anything.
Right, no,
got
it's sitting next to the raised beds.
I guess the question is, who's in charge there, you know?
Who's
going to make this decision, and who's going to...
I'm going to see you at 10 o'clock today. You better stop that.
Well, Darlene, can I make a suggestion? Do you know what a bottle tree is?
I do not.
Okay, so a bottle tree is sort of like a Southern garden tradition, and it's where somebody would take a dead tree or an old tree like that, and they would cut the branches off so that they're just like foot-long kind of stumps remaining on there, and then they take colorful wine or beer bottles, like those cobalt blue ones or bright green ones, and they stick them on the ends of the branches, right, through the hole in the bottle, and it creates this bottle tree. Google it, bottle tree, and you'll see like these Southern bottle trees, and they're like a thing. They're like a decorative thing people do in their garden. So
yeah, Dave could get out
that.
There and decorate it for you.
Well, he could drink all
I
the beer
the wine.
And the wine, right? And then yeah. So you know, what's the one that comes in the blue bottle? Is that Blue Nun or something like that?
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
There you go. Thanks, Darlene.
We'll see you at Sorgel's at 10, Darlene.
It's Eleanor in Allison Park for Doug and Jess on KDK Radio. Good morning, Eleanor.
Good morning, and thank you for the show. I always enjoy it.
Thanks.
My question is that I'm moving in June, and I have about four rhubarb plants, and I think most of them have produce seed heads this year, which I cut off, but I'm wondering if that's a good plant to move with me, because I love the rhubarb, or does that mean it's the end of, you know, it's going into decline, or move would be too stressful for it?
Well, I don't think
you get new rhubarb.
I don't think you have anything to lose by trying to move it. I mean, you got a mature plant there, and the fact that it's going into seed, I don't think is a problem. You'd cut those off. I'd dig them out and move them if it was me.
Okay, it's good for me.
Well, let's hear what Jess has to say.
Oh, I would do the same thing. Yeah.
Is that why you're nodding over there?
That is why I'm nodding, yeah.
They can't hear you nodding.
I can't hear me nod, but no, you can hear me nod. So, yeah, I would do the same. Just make a nice big clump of soil from around those roots. Don't just get just the plant. Get a, because you're moving it in summer.
What do you like to make out of that rhubarb?
Oh, I make pies. You know, in the spring I'll put strawberries in with the rhubarb. In the fall, apples. Sometimes even berries. Oh, raisin, rhubarb raisin.
Ooh.
And then I can do all the same things to make little jars of jam.
Nice.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Wonderful.
Well, enjoy your rhubarb no matter where you're living.
Yeah.
All right, Marion in Slippery Rock. How are you? Welcome to KDK Radio. Good morning.
Hi. I had a question about succession planting.
Mm-hmm.
When you're taking out the first plant, do you pull the plant or do you cut it off to leave the roots before you plant the second crop of something of a different plant?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, I'm thinking myself. In most cases, when I'm doing it, the plant's done. So I'm just starting anew.
Ripping the whole thing out?
Well, in my case, it would be like garlic.
Yeah.
So I'm harvesting,
well, you're harvesting,
harvesting
the whole
garlic
thing, right.
Comes out. If it was like lettuce or something, again, I'd probably take the whole thing out. Think about what would one that would kind of stay in there that you'd work around for a while or not take out. I think I'm taking out everything that I can think of.
Yeah, well, here's a couple of cases where cutting it off at the roots might be better than pulling the whole thing out.
Okay.
Number one is if you're growing anything in the pea and bean family. So let's say your shell peas are done and then you want to plant some tomatoes in their place or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, I would actually recommend cutting the the top growth off, but leaving the roots intact, because the roots have little nitrogen fixing nodules on them in the pea and bean family. And the nitrogen that's contained in them can then be returned to the soil when you leave those root that, you know, the roots in place and let them kind of naturally decompose. So that would be a case where cutting it off would be better. Also, at my house, with my cabbage and my my lettuce, I cut those off at the base because a lot of times later on in the season, they'll re-sprout and give me a little, you know, a second crop out of those.
A second crop is always good. All right. Thank you very much. Listen, we're going to take a break now. And when we come back after CBS Radio News at the bottom of the hour, we want to get back to more of your phone calls. But it'll be Talking Trees with Davey Trees. Number to be on the program, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. And you can text us at the Wright Automotive Line, which happens to be the best deal in town. We've got 1 minute to the break, and I want to dedicate it all to you because you've got a very big day today beginning at 10 o'clock.
I'll be at Sorgel's 10 o'clock for the 16th annual Everybody Gardens Doug Oster Plant Swap and Giveaway. We have so much fun. It's an hour of mayhem. It's an hour of garden mayhem. 10 o'clock today at Sorgel's. Trading plants, giving away lots of tomato plants. The Limbaugh Legacy potato top tomato is just a big, ugly, wonderful tasting, meaty, 1 pound great tomato. I have a complicated recipe where you just cut one slice, get two pieces of white bread, get some mayonnaise, some salt, put them together, and go to heaven. It's called a tomato sandwich. Also giving away 39.45 tomatoes, lots of other tomatoes from the greenhouse. Today, 10 a.m., Sorgel's. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So this is kind of like a hour of garden mayhem, this show every week.
Yeah, how true.
Absolutely.
No comment.
Stay with us. The news coming up next, and then more of Doug and Jess and Davey Trees. Davey.com to find out more. We're talking trees next on KDKA Radio.
We are talking trees with our friend Miles Stevens from the Davey Tree Expert Company. We're going to start off talking about the benefits of trees. Miles, I can't stand it when I see new construction. They take out an entire forest and, you know, it's just more stormwater.
Yeah, more stormwater runoff. They scrape away the good soil and leave the new development with subsoil and whatever. So, yeah, it sort of makes it, then they plant a few trees and it makes it sort of tough for them to do well. You know.
So when I ask about the benefit of the trees, are you going to be able to just do the next 10 minutes on all the good things that trees do for us?
I'm not sure I can do the next 10 minutes, but there's certainly, we know, a lot of benefits to having trees on your home landscape, anywhere really. You know, think of what initial thing you always think of is going back, they always talk about in schools of, you know, taking carbon dioxide and pollutants and producing oxygen. I say an average-sized tree could produce about 260 pounds of oxygen a year. Two trees could produce enough oxygen for a family of four per year.
Wow.
So that's a benefit right there. Shade, cooling, you know, summertime. Talk to people who have nice shade trees around their home, and their air conditioning electric bills are substantially less. Some people don't even use it. So you get that benefit of the shade, the cooling, that type of thing. Deciduous trees. Wintertime, a good thing. Drop the leaves. Actually, you get the sun. Anytime you get that warming, you get the benefit of that. So
yeah, I'm still blowing leaves. Is that a benefit?
Sure. Yeah, well, it's job security. You like being outside the whole time, right? You realize that's a good thing. But
I saw an interesting thing, too. Somebody had an infrared temperature sensor, and they were...
You know what, Jess? Come over to this mic here. Yes, something happened to your microphone, but that's okay. Uh-oh. It's live radio. They keep playing with the equipment. All right, go ahead, Jessica. Step up, and we will pull you.
Anyway, so what I was saying was I saw a television show where they actually had an infrared sensor or a heat sensor, and they did it on an asphalt street, and it was like 185 degrees or something there. This was in California. And then they did it on the asphalt street when there was a tree overhead, and it was like 40 degrees less. So we're talking about a major, with trees giving a major reduction in this sort of heat island effect that we have in cities, right?
Right. Yeah, I even remember seeing a study at one point in time where they showed that you had to, you know, go to like an outdoor mall type area, and ones that had trees and one didn't have trees, and the people traffic they got on the one with trees was substantially more than one without. People like, you know, the shade, just the overall. You know, that's one of the things too. Is, you know, trees can be therapeutic in that way, you know, in the sense that people like to look at them, to feel. You know, I even saw another study one time. I talked about like people in a hospital, and people had a view of trees and landscape and wildlife type recovered more quickly than people were looking out onto, you know. So there's, you know, Why, how that works, I'm not sure, but I think there's just a calming effect, you know, to have seen greenery like that. You know, so that's another benefit, I think, of trees there. They improved, and the other benefit, I guess, trees, that if you look from the very practical person's point of view, they increase your property value, too. I guess another value, but you know, we don't always think of, but that's the case there, too.
Now, what kind of things you've been seeing out there that we should be worried about? Because we're always worried.
Right. Well, we're seeing a lot of needle cast on like Douglas fir and also blue spruce.
What does that look like?
Well, what you'll see is an unusual amount of needle drop, and trees will look real ragged, whatever. And you go and look underneath, and there's a lot of needles. You look on the needles themselves, and you'll see discoloration maybe midway through the needle or at the end of the needles. But the main thing, the easiest thing to see is just, Why are they looking so thin? Why are they looking so bare? You know, why are they dropping all these needles?
And that's a fungal pathogen. And we were talking earlier about how wet it has been this spring. And so when we have a season like this, we have a greater incidence of those types of fungal issues cropping up.
Disease likes moisture, needs moisture. And, you know, we're getting all this rain, and it's good for growing things. But the flip side is, if you're a fungus, you love moisture. So you're like happy.
Right.
There's a fungus among us.
It is. But we should talk about that other one that people think is a
fungus. One of our number one questions.
So, and Miles, we want to ask you about this because, you know, we have an incredible amount of questions about lichens, which people describe them as a sort of gray-green circular growth on the sides of their trees, and they get very, very worried about them. Explain what they are and if there's any negative impacts on trees because of the lichen presence.
Yeah, lichens are just little organisms that look for something to grow on. And, you know, you find them on your trees, but you know, if you look on, you have any stone walls or even a sidewalk. So they just look for somewhere to grow, to live. They're not parasitic in the sense that they're going to take energy away from the tree, not going to injure the tree. And the amount you see can vary. You know, you get several wet years in a row, you'll see more. If it dries up, you're going to see less, you know. So in the end, it's really not an issue around here that I would be concerned with. It just, you know, not to the point where it covers it. You know, foliage and that type of thing. It just basically on the trunks of the trees. You see moss also.
Yeah.
In the same situation. It's just, you know, relation to overall moisture conditions, excessive moisture conditions, and makes it ideal for it to grow. But it's not going to injure your plants.
That's always a good question to answer, though, because it's usually when you get a question about some kind of fungal issue on a tree, it's like, well, I got some bad news for you, but this is good news.
Is
like,
good
you
news,
don't have
right.
to worry. It's just lichens. We like our lichens.
Right. It's like, yeah, nothing to worry about like in the fall when people's white pines and arborvitae are dropping brown needles. And you say, don't worry, that's perfectly normal. You know, so it's like, it's the good news thing with it. So it's not an issue.
All right, Miles, stick around. For more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to www.davey.com/KDKA. And don't forget, you can always call the experts at Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
We'll be back. Back to more of the Organic Gardeners. And here's Doug Oster.
Oh, she's a grower, a horticulturist, and our own garden goddess, Denise Schreiber. How you doing, Denise? How about all this rain?
You know what? I'm starting to get webbing between my toes, you know.
Starting.
And I can bob on water nonstop. So while we're talking about trees this morning, I'd like people to know about another invasive pest, unfortunately. It's called the spotted lanternfly, and the immature insects are hatching now, but it's unlike emerald ash borer, which pretty much targeted ash trees and a couple other members in that family. Spotted lanternfly, which is actually a beautiful moth, targets over 70 species of trees and shrubs and vines and fruits. Eastern Pennsylvania, there are several counties that are already under quarantine, but it has already spread into Maryland and Virginia. And when the female lays her eggs, she doesn't just like lay it on a plant. She lays it on the back of a camper, on your car, and it's a small smear is the best way to describe it. So you don't know that you're transporting it, but it is just deadly. They haven't found anything to contain it yet. So people can Google it so they can see what the mature and immature insect looks like, And if Miles is still there, he may actually want to talk a little bit more about it. But if you see it, you know, look at the picture, and if you see it, please call the Department of Agriculture right away or Penn State Extension, because they will go out and try and, you know, either take the egg casing or the adult. If you can kill the adult, that's fine, you know, but just so they can confirm its presence, because this is something we really don't want. If you think about wine, you know, it loves grapevines, you know, which is a big crop in central Pennsylvania, but also up in the Erie area, too.
Yeah, and they there's lots of different. Do you have any experience with them yet, Miles?
Not yet, but we've been alerted to the fact that they are out there. And initially, I think the thoughts were that their main host plant was Tree of Heaven, which in some cases we weren't necessarily devastated about.
Right.
But now, like Snowdall was saying, now they found it. Multiple hosts, which I think is typical a lot of times of invasive species. A lot of times it's just on this one plant, but now it's multiple plants. We have not seen it, as far as I know, in western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we haven't seen it yet. What's the prognosis? Do we know? Is it going to make it here? Or
I'm sure it will. Yeah. I mean, like you're saying, the female lays eggs, and it just is on trees. It can be in an old piece of wood. It can be in firewood. It can be in an old beginning a camper. And so people don't know they're transporting it around. And so I'm certain that that's how a lot of it gets spread around. I mean, it's I'm not sure their mobility, how far they can fly, anything like it. But the adult female is very colorful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful, especially when the wings are spread. It's a beautiful insect. But it's actually Berks County. They just issued an alert. The Cooperative Extension for Berks County, which is actually where my parents live. I saw that they have a homeowner had actually reported spotting the nymphs on a tree and posted a picture. And I, you know, Mrs. Know-It-All, I mean, everybody needs to look at a picture of this insect, Google it as she recommended to see, so that if you see it in your garden, you know you can report it, because they really do need to contain this. I don't know that they ever will get it contained, but whatever efforts we can make are going to be in the right direction. So, yeah, it's pretty scary stuff.
All right. Let's go to the phones and say hello to Ann North Hills. This is something that Miles can help her with. Hey, Ann, how are you? Welcome to KDK Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about a fig tree. I have had mine growing in a pot now. This is like the fourth or fifth year, and it's doing phenomenally. But we are replacing our deck and putting a roof on it. Is the indirect light going to be enough? Or if it's not, if we put a little skylight on the end of it, would that help?
Constructing a skylight for your fig tree. I like
that
idea. What do you think, Miles? Is that enough sun to get a fig tree going?
I think they're a full sun kind of plant.
Yeah,
and it's that's going to be sort of tough for it, you know, because it's going to get, you know, limited number of hours of sunlight during the course of the day, no matter what you're going to try to do there. So I don't think it's
going to work
real well.
Do you have a front porch or a walk or somewhere else you can put the pot, even on a driveway or something like that?
No, and planting it in the yard, we have so many deer, it would just be like dessert time.
How about at the base?
I may have to give it away.
How about at the base of the stairs off of the deck, like down at the bottom of the steps that lead off the deck?
That would be in our driveway.
How about designing a roof that gives you a little bit of room for your fig tree?
Yeah, that's
how are you going to live without your fig tree?
I know. You think there'd be somewhere else on your property that you can do. You know, here's the thing. We have a lot of deer at my place, and I have never had a deer nibble on my fig tree.
Yeah, mine are inside.
Really?
Inside the vegetable garden, so I don't know.
I have never had a problem. And it is a pot where, I mean, it is. I put the pot in a place where the deer come through. So, it's worth a try.
When you want to get rid of that fig tree, give me a call. I'll come get it from you.
All right. Here's a text message.
He just
message
wants a free fig tree.
From the Wright Automotive text line, and I've read it four times, so I don't think we've ever had a question like this. Hello, I have a 2x2 foot area with a block wall around it. Can you recommend a type of flowering shrub that won't harm my wall?
Oh, usually it's the wall will harm the plant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Well, some work went into the wall, so, you know.
Right.
What do you think?
2x2 is pretty small, so you're going to need like a really something that stays really petite in there.
Nice little boxwood.
That would be something good if you're looking for evergreen, like a dwarf box would be really good. There's some really good dwarf inkberry hollies. That would be a good evergreen that would go in there as well. If you're looking for flowering, I would do one of the this is assuming it's getting a decent amount of sun, but not too much. Like one of the new dwarf flowering hydrangeas, like the panicle hydrangea. That would be good. There's one called Bobo that's smaller. Something like that would be cool. I would just make sure whatever you choose is not going to get too large for that area. Choose something that's going to stay very small and compact.
You know, speaking of the boxwoods, are you seeing a lot of that boxwood blight?
Yeah, increased amount the last couple of years on boxwood blight. Seen a lot of leaf miner also and psyllid on boxwoods also. But yeah, I've had some boxwoods where just stems die out and prune them out. Not a whole lot more you could really do with that one, but I've seen more of that. And once again, I don't know if it's a function of the amount of rain we've had. Moisture conditions make it more ideal for canker and that type of thing to be an issue.
I mean, just what do you think about planting boxwoods now because of the boxwood blight? Would you rather see inkberry go in, or what are you thinking?
That's an option. I mean, I have two different types of boxwood, actually three different types of boxwood at my house. I have not had any problem with boxwood blight at this time, but the boxwood leaf miners have been huge. And actually, I did a video up on the Savvy Gardening YouTube channel about the boxwood leaf miners because they are so interesting that they sound like they make the bush sound like Rice Krispies.
Oh, you were telling me about that.
Yeah, you put your ear up to it and it sounds like you can hear them actually chewing inside of the leaves. And so there's some easy ways, meaning timing of the pruning and things like that, that you can get them in check. But so far, no problems with the boxwood blight. But I would look into resistant varieties if you are worried about that.
Is there time for another call, Rob?
Yeah, we've got about 1 minute to say goodbye. I think we can take care of Anita here. Anita, about a minute. Go ahead. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the call. My three-year-old, my roses, the three-year-old knockout roses, did not come back this year.
Oh.
I've got all these brown canes. When I went around this yesterday, I saw at the very bottom there's a little bit of leaves coming back. Can I trim those dead canes off?
Yes, absolutely.
And have
and
I
you
lost
should.
That plant?
No, if you have new growth coming out of the base, I believe knockouts are on their own rootstock, so I think that would be fine to prune out the dead.
And rose tone. Feed them rose tone.
Yep, absolutely.
Rose tone. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, join me today at Sorgel's at 10 a.m. I'll be doing my 16th annual plant swap and giveaway. We're going to give away a lot of cool tomato plants and bring some plants. Trade them, meet some like-minded people. Like I said, 10 a.m. Sorgel's. It's 1 hour of garden mayhem.
And get there at 10.
Yeah,
or slightly before.
And I'll tell you this: no one is trading before 10 a.m. I'm going to be there at 9, and I'm going to prevent this from happening.
Okay, good. That's good.
Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden
and a safer place to live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.